This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
We talk about temptation. Temptation to do that which is wrong, that which is inappropriate, that which is deadly. And before long, if we follow the road of temptation and we get away with it and it has some pleasure in it and some appeal to it and some magnetism to it, little temptations, as innocent as a little tune of an ice cream truck on the way, can just suck us in and destroy anybody's life.
The truth is, you can overcome temptation. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins a message called Mountain of Temptation and explores Christ's ability to withstand temptation as an example for you today. So stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to put a special resource in your hands to help you make God's Word part of your daily routine this year. The one-year chronological Bible is designed to help you read through the entire Bible in less than 15 minutes a day. We'll send you the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for your help reaching more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. Now you can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message. Mountain of Decision.
What do you think that is? Ice cream truck. That's exactly right. When we were little, most of us, we'd hear that, we'd just go, right? That was solid temptation, an ice cream truck. And we're talking about temptation. And therefore, we remember when that little tune would be played and we'd know something that was coming that was delicious, that was desirable, that was delectable. And so we'd run for the truck. We used to say, ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. And we were brought up like that. You know, it's interesting though, we talk about temptation. Temptation to do that which is wrong, that which is inappropriate, that which is deadly. And it all begins with just little melodies, little tunes there. And before long, if we follow the road of temptation and we get away with it and it has some pleasure in it and some appeal to it and some magnetism to it, little temptations, as innocent as a little tune of an ice cream truck on the way, can just suck us in and destroy anybody's life. Temptation. We're looking at our scripture. It says that Jesus, after he was baptized, and what a tremendous, tremendous moment that was. John the Baptist called him out. Jordan River, buried, resurrected, And when he came out of the water, you have one of the few times in all the Bible, the Trinity is present. Jesus in flesh, God's Son. The Holy Spirit was there in the symbol of a dove. And then a voice from heaven. God spoke and affirmed that and says, as he looked at Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What a tremendous moment. When did this happen? In the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. He's coming out of obscurity. He moves into the public. And here we have this mountaintop experience of baptism. And then on the heels of that, we read in our scripture the story of the temptation of Jesus. You find it in Luke chapter 4. You find it in Matthew 4 and a little touch of it in Mark, all three Gospels. And you read there in Luke's Gospel a very interesting phrase. Open your Bible, if you would, to not Luke, but Matthew 4, chapter number 1. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Actually, that would be a better translation. The Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, of all things, to be tempted by the devil. Can you imagine such a thing? Jesus baptized in the Jordan, right across, not many miles away from Jericho, and he went there into the Mount of Temptation. By the way, we've looked at five mountains, right? But the Mount of Temptation is the only universal mountain that all of us have climbed, and all of us will climb. It's a universal experience. All of us will be sinned. You can't run, you can't escape sin. Wherever you go, there was a Hindu monk who decided he'd get away from all temptation of the flesh. And so he went into a forest and found a cave and locked himself in the cave, shut out from the world for 23 years. He hardly saw but two or three human beings in that period of time. E. Stanley Jones went and sought him out, went in the jungle, in the wilderness there, in the forest, and found the cave and went in. And this monk who'd been there for 23 years praying, fasting, living in obscurity, he came out and the first thing he said to Stanley Jones was, I haven't thought about a woman in 23 years. Jones, commenting after that, said, I wonder why that's the first thing he said to me. Temptation is a universal experience. And Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And what a deserted place this was. I have been right in that area. And you can see there what is called the Mount of Temptation. Kurantania is what they call it. They have a monastery up there. You can see it in the distance. And you can see all the sandstone that's there, miles and miles. They call it the place of desolation. It is in the southern part of Judea. And there Jesus came out of this tremendous experience of baptism, and he was driven into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Mark it down. The devil didn't drown in the Jordan when Jesus was baptized. He was still there, and he met Jesus there in the wilderness to be tempted after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights without food there in the wilderness alone by himself. Two questions before we look at our scripture. First one, is the devil real? Now, we live in a world in which we like to think he's not real. 100 years ago, you wouldn't ask this question. Everybody knew the devil was real. But today, with a lot of speculation, we've taken the devil and tried to make him an object of humor. I mean, for example, there was this woman who was having a difficult time with her husband. He was drunk all the time, and he would go out at night and get drunk and come staggering in all hours. She did everything she could to help him. Till finally she said, I'll take care of him. And she went out and got a devil costume. You know, all red. She got a pitchfork. She got the horns. She got the mask. She got everything. And she said, wait till he comes in drunk tonight. And so she's right behind the door, and he comes reeling in, hardly standing up. He opens the door, and she jumps out of that pitchfork and said, I've got you. And he staggers back. He says, lady, I don't know who you are, but I married your sister. A lot of us think the devil looks like this little guy. We think, well, that's the devil. The devil does not look like that. He doesn't have red skin, doesn't have horns, doesn't carry out a pitchfork. You know what the devil looks like? The devil's an angel of light. An angel. The devil is a thing of attractiveness, of beauty, of acceptance, of charm. The devil presents himself in all kinds of glory and all kinds of opportunity. That's how the devil clothes himself. And so we know that the devil is indeed real, but he wants us to think he's not real. And by the way, few people will be confronted by the devil himself. You know what takes care of you and me when we fall in temptation? The flesh and the world. The flesh doesn't get us, the world will get us. The devil doesn't have to fool with us. And by the way, the devil isn't omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. The devil is not omniscient. He doesn't know anything. But the devil is real and has all of his emissaries and all of his demons and all the evil forces operated in the world in which we live. Make no mistake about it. So the idea that we can discount him, that he's not real. Years ago, there was a movie entitled The Devil's Advocate. I didn't see it, but I've read about it. In this movie, it pictures a wonderful little family. He was an attorney in Florida, reasonably successful, had three beautiful young kids, a lovely wife, went to church, godly people, had just everything going for them. But then he got an opportunity to join a big multinational law firm in New York City. And it was one of those things that just doesn't happen. And so he picked up his family. They moved to New York City. He became a part of this national, powerful law firm, and he fell into all the mechanics of that firm. He fell into greed, into sex, and to big, big bucks, big, big money. And 5 or 6 years went by, and you wouldn't recognize him or his wife or his kids. They were totally broken and destroyed, and they were empty, and their home, her whole home had been exploded in that kind of environment. And then in the movie, Al Pacino played the part. He was sort of the managing partner of this tremendous firm. He was the organizer. He absolutely owned it. And in the movie, they reveal his name was John Milton. They reveal that he was really the devil. And so after this young man's life and his family had been destroyed, in that movie, I want you to read this dialogue. You know, what does it say? Look at me, cries the devil. Under underestimated from day one, you'll never think I was a master of the universe. Now, would you? I'm a surprise, Kevin. They didn't see me coming. That's what you're missing. That's how he operates, folks. We don't see him coming. And that's what we're missing. So we see the devil is real. And the next question we'd ask, are the temptations of Jesus real? I mean, after all, he's the Son of God. And here we have the mystery of Jesus being totally man, totally human, and Jesus being totally God, totally divine. How does that work? In his humanity, you could cut Jesus and he would bleed just like you would, just like I would. But in his divinity, it was, I think, coming upon him as he matured as to who he was. Jesus knew he was Messiah, the Son of God. But somehow his mind, his whole body, his whole life didn't reflect the supernatural. In other words, it's almost like someone said, well, how do you handle this? It's like in the summer, you hang your bathing suit up and you don't put it on until you go back swimming again. Jesus, in one sense, had hung up part of his divinity, and now as he was in fellowship with the Father, remember he said, I and the Father, we're one. You know, as the Father wills, so I will. It is his power, not my power. This was the process, I think, of the divine aspects coming back into Jesus. And therefore, were these temptations real? Absolutely, they were real. Remember Jesus now. He was, the Bible tells us, about 30 years old. He was a young man. He'd been there 40 days and 40 nights without food. He was hungry. He'd been there alone. He'd come from a family that protected him. He came sheltered, and now he is out in the world. He is baptized. He's announced that he is going out into his mission, and then we see the temptations come. What was the temptation of Jesus all about? Now, get this, or you'll miss the whole thrust of our scripture. Jesus was tempted at the point of his life's purpose. Now get that. He was tempted at the point of his life's purpose. What was the role, the message, the calling of Jesus? You find it in what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is really the model prayer. James 17 is the Lord's Prayer. The prayer we call the Lord's Prayer is the model prayer. Listen to it. It gives us the purpose of Jesus' life. Our Father who art in heaven, our Abba, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It establishes reverence and worship in the beginning. And here we have his life purpose. Thy kingdom come, get it, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was the calling of Jesus. When he came in flesh, that was the kingdom of God among us. By the way, in the Bible, you read kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. They're interchangeable. Where do you find the kingdom of God? Where do you find the kingdom of heaven? Where God is king, Jesus is Lord, there's the kingdom of God. Wherever you find it. Here, now, forever, prehistory, in history, post-history, that's the kingdom of God. When Jesus came, he brought the kingdom fleshed out among us and called for the will of God to be accomplished in the lives of people. He came to call the world into the kingdom of God. That was his purpose, to save, to salvage, to rebuild, to bring us into God's kingdom. That was the calling of God. And therefore, he was tempted in light of that purpose. So this moves his temptations into another realm. Let's look at them. There are three of them. We'll follow Matthew. After he'd fasted 40 days, 40 nights, this is Matthew 4. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, a better translation there would be, since you are the Son of God, the devil knew he was the Son of God. Jesus had now come to see his role, his calling. He said, since you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Oh, a lot of commentaries. But what's a commentary? A commentary are what people that read the scripture who are scholars and students, and they try to help us understand what that scripture is teaching. And they make comments on it. They write about it. They tell us what those words mean. I read dozens of them. Most commentaries at this scripture, you know what they say the temptation of Jesus was? They say he hadn't eaten anything for 40 days, and he was hungry. And therefore, you go out there. By the way, I've been in this general area many times, and they have rocks out there that really look like little loaves of bread. You walk the streets of Jerusalem, they sell on the streets bread today, little rolls of bread that look exactly like those rocks. So these scholars say Jesus looked at all those rocks. He hadn't eaten anything in 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan says, why don't you just zap those stones and make it into some hot bread like your mother makes, like hot bread like they sell in Jerusalem on the streets. They said that was his temptation, to satisfy his hunger. They said Jesus was at a weak point, therefore that's when Satan came to tempt him. By the way, I disagree with that. I think Jesus was at a strong point spiritually because he had been with the Father. He'd been alone. He'd been fasting. He'd been praying. He'd been listening. He'd been trying to see how God wanted him to live out his life. And therefore, instead of being a low point, it was a high point as he was full of God and full of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, when does temptation usually come to you and me? It comes at low points. Man, I'm through. I'm fed up. I can't go anywhere. I'm out of bullets. I'm empty. I'm distraught. And it comes at high points. We get up a tremendous... We've seen that in our study of mountains. How many people in the mountain, they have great experience. They come out of the valley and the bottom falls out of their lives. How many times have we already seen that? So we have Jesus here, I think, at a high point. And Satan comes and says, man, since you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. It was not just a temptation to satisfy his own hunger. It was a temptation, remember, as to how he would call the world to God. What was it about? Satan said, man, if you just give everybody bread, they'll follow you. That's your purpose? Have people follow you? To enter the kingdom of God, to let the will of God be accomplished in their life, zip, bang, just promise them bread. They'll follow you. If you doubt this, if I could say today, let me tell you something. Everybody here, I'm going to give you plenty of bread for the rest of your life, and you can interpret bread as bread or bread as we use in slang. I'm going to give you all the stuff you need to live out the rest of your life. If you want that, just follow me. I have a feeling we'd have a crowd going out that door. That was a temptation. Feed everybody. Give everybody what they need. This, ladies and gentlemen, if you know anything about history or today's world, that's the call of the communist. I'll feed you. I'll look after you. I'll give you everything you need. You won't have to work. Won't have to do anything. We'll take from these and give to others. We'll have a level society. Man, I'll give you bread. It's all covered. Cradle to the grave. A tremendous appeal then and today, is it not?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless, Isaiah 40:29. Charlie Brown and Lucy were on a cruise ship, and they were setting up their folding chairs on the deck of the ship. Lucy said, Charlie, some people like to place their chair so they can see where they've been. Other people like to place their chair so they can look over the whole ship. And others like to sit where they can see what's coming, where they're going. Charlie looked at her and said, I'm just trying to figure out how to unfold my chair. You have days like that. If so, today's verse provides good insight. Just tell God how confused and helpless you feel. He's ready to provide just what you need today, tomorrow, forever, in fact, for the rest of your life.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to help you stay grounded in that truth all year long with the one-year chronological Bible. There's no better way to prepare for what God wants to do in and through you this year than to spend time each day in His Word. The one-year chronological Bible will help you do just that as you grow deeper in your understanding of God's Word through 365 daily Bible readings that guide you through Scripture in chronological order. So call now to request the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Join us tomorrow as Dr. Young concludes his message with more proven truth on how you can overcome temptation from the enemy.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world.
too high and bow down low. How high can you be? How low can I be?